ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేష్ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీర్ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 5 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ నారదస్ టీచింగ్స్ టు వసుదేవ్, టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 27. ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీతా వాసా నిజాయుధః శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ లక్షణైరుపలక్షిత. ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీత వాసా నిజాయుధః శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ లక్షణైరుపలక్షితః. ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీత వాసా నిజాయుధః శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ లక్షణైరుపలక్షితః. ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీతవాస శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ లక్షణైరుపలక్షిత. ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీతవాసా నిజాయుధ ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీతవాసా నిజాయుధః శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ లక్షణైరుపలక్షితః. మాతాజీస్, ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీతవాసా నిజాయుధః శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ లక్షణైరుపలక్షిత. ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీతవాసా నిజాయుధః శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ లక్షణైరుపలక్షితః. ద్వాపరే భగవాన్ శ్యామ పీతవాసా నిజాయుధః శ్రీవత్సాదిభిరంకైశ్చ Dakshinayupalakshitaha. Word to word translation. Dwapare, in Dwapar Yuga, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Shyama, dark blue, Pita Vasa, wearing a yellow garment, Nija Ayudaha, having his own particular weapons, the disc, club, conch shell, and the lotus flower, Srivatsa Adibihi, by Srivatsa and others, Ankai, bodily marks, cha, and Lakshanai, by ornaments, Upalakshitaha, characterized. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In Dwapar Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears with a dark blue complexion, wearing yellow garments. The Lord's transcendental body is marked in this incarnation with Srivatsa and other distinctive ornaments, and He manifests His personal weapons. Purport. The Lord's transcendental body in Dwapar Yuga can be compared to the color of a dark blue flower. The Lord exhibits His personal transcendental weapons, such as Sudarshan Chakra and all of the limbs of His body, especially His hands and feet, are decorated with auspicious symbols such as a lotus flower and a flag. And on His chest, the Lord manifests the Kaustubha jewel as well as the auspicious Srivatsa, a whirl of hair curling from left to right on the right side of the Lord's chest. Actually, such auspicious marks as Kaustubha and Srivatsa, as well as the weapons of the Lord, are present in all of the Vishnu Tattva incarnations. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that these universal characteristics of the Lord, mentioned by the sage Karabhajan, are indications of the Krishna avatara. Because Krishna is the source of all incarnations, all of the symptoms of all other incarnations are to be found in His transcendental body. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸಂಡೇ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಕರೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ದ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕನ್ವರ್ಸೇಷನ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ನಿಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ನವ ಯೋಗೇಂದ್ರಸ್. ನಿಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಡ್ಯೂರಿಂಗ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ತ್ರೇತಾಯುಗ. ನವ ಯೋಗೇಂದ್ರಸ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ 9 ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ರಿಷಭದೇವ್. ಅದ ನವ ಯೋಗೇಂದ್ರಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ರಿಷಭದೇವ್. ದೇ ಆರ್ ವ್ಯಾಂಡರಿಂಗ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ಮೀಟ್ ದ ನಿಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್. ಅಂಡ್ ನಿಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಆಸ್ಡ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಟು ಈಚ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ನವ ಯೋಗೇಂದ್ರಸ್. ದ ನವ ಯೋಗೇಂದ್ರಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಆನ್ಸರಿಂಗ್ ದೋಸ್ 9 ಕ್ವಶನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಆಲ್ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದರ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಸೆವೆರಲ್ ಮಂತ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದಿಸ್. ಸೊ ದರ್ ಕರೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಟು ದ 9th ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಆಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ನಿಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್. ದ 9th ಕ್ವಶನ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ನಿಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವಾಸ್, ಹಿ ಆಸ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಯುಗಸ್. ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯು ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ದ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಕಲರ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದೋಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಹೌ ದೋಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆರ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ 9th ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಆಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ನಿಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್. ಇನ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್, ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಕರ್ಬಾಜನ ಋಷಿ. ಕರ್ಬಾಜನ ಋಷಿ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ನವ ಯೋಗೇಂದ್ರಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಸ್. ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವೆರಿ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ, ವಿಚ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ ದ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಅಪಿಯರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ದ ವರ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್, ಎಸ್ ಐ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ದ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆರ್ ದ 4 ಯುಗಸ್: ಸತ್ಯಯುಗ, ತ್ರೇತಾಯುಗ, ದ್ವಾಪರ ಯುಗ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ. ಸೊ ಕರ್ಬಾಜಿನ ಋಷಿ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಕಂಪ್ಲೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪಿಂಗ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸತ್ಯಯುಗ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಕಂಪ್ಲೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪಿಂಗ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ತ್ರೇತಾಯುಗ. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ವರ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಟುಡೇ ಇಸ್ this verse, and also the next few verses is about the incarnation of the Lord in the Dwapar Yuga. Dwapar Yuga is the previous millennium, previous yuga. So in the Dwapar Yuga, in the current verse, Karbajana Rishi is saying, Dwapare Bhagavan Shyamaha. In the Dwapar Yuga, the Lord appears in a dark blue complexion. Shyama means a dark blue complexion. And then Pita Vasa, he wears a yellow garment. Nija Yudaha, he also has different weapons. Ayuda means weapons. Nija Ayuda, he has different weapons like Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma, Conchal, Lotus Flower, the Gada. And ಶ್ರೀವತ್ಸ ಆದಿಬಿರ್ ಅಂಕೈಶ್ಚ. ಅಂಕ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಬಾಡಿಲಿ ಮಾರ್ಕ್ಸ್. ಶ್ರೀವತ್ಸ ಆದಿಬಿ, ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಬಾಡಿಲಿ ಮಾರ್ಕ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಶ್ರೀವತ್ಸ. ಶ್ರೀವತ್ಸ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಗೋಲ್ಡನ್ ಹ್ಯಾರ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಚೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಈ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅದರ್ ಬಾಡಿಲಿ ಮಾರ್ಕ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಕೌಸ್ತುಭ ಜ್ವಲ್. ಲಕ್ಷಣೈರ್ ಉಪಲಕ್ಷಿತೈ, Lakshanair Upalakshitai, and he also has different other distinctive ornaments. Lakshanai means ornaments, Upalakshitai. The other distinctive ornaments, it refers to ornaments like Kaustubha jewel. So this is how Karbhajana Rishi is giving a brief description about the form of the Lord in the Dwapar Yuga. And in the purport, the Acharyas are elaborating about this point. The Jiva Goswami is mentioning that actually these marks like the Srivatsa hair, the golden hair, the Kaustubha jewel, these marks are present in all the Vishnu Tattva incarnations. And he says that these universal characteristics of the Lord mentioned by the sage Karbhajan are indications of the Krishna avatara. And because Krishna is the source of all incarnations, all of the symptoms of all other incarnations are also to be found in his transcendental body. In this way, the Acharyas are giving a purport. So today, I'll just discuss briefly about the concept of an incarnation, the definition of incarnation, and then I'll discuss, today is also the day of Katyayani Vrata. Katyayani Vrata begins. So I'll just describe briefly about in relation to Katyayani Vrata. And if time permits, we'll discuss something related to Damodar Leela. So this incarnation, the original Sanskrit word corresponding to incarnation is avatar. The incarnation, this word is actually found in the Abrahamic tradition. And Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they have used this word as a translation for avatar. But technically speaking, incarnation is not a precise translation of the word avatar, because incarnation means when the divinity appears in a carnal body which is made of a flesh, then that is actually incarnation. We say carnal desires. So when a divinity appears in a carnal body, that is an actually incarnation. But when we talk about the concept of avatar, in the case of an avatar, the Lord actually descends in his self-same spiritual body. He does not actually descend, he does not appear in a material body, he descends in a spiritual body. In his own self-same spiritual body in the material world. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavam atma mayaya. So Krishna says that I appear by my internal potency. Prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. I appear by my own internal potency. He appears in his own self-same body. So therefore, but still the Acharyas have used this word incarnation as a translation for avatar. Because the reason is that, there is an unfamiliar concept. The concept of avatar is an unfamiliar concept, a conditioned soul. Because all of us have a material body. But the avatar is when the Lord descends in his own self-same body. That is avatar. But there is an unfamiliar concept, but if we also use a word which is also unfamiliar, then it actually adds to the unfamiliarity. Because the word avatar is usually, apart from those who come in the Vedic tradition, the word avatar is not known to most of the people. So therefore, while translating, they have used a word which is familiar, although it is not a precise translation of the word avatar. To explain that unfamiliar concept, they used a familiar word which is not very precise. But then the further explanation of the purports, the Acharyas actually, like Srila Prabhupada, he clarifies time and again different purports. But the Lord's body is completely spiritual. He clarifies that. So therefore, this is the word avatar. And regarding the, of course, if we see in the modern context, many times the word avatar is also has become familiar even to people in the different Western countries because of the movie Avatar. And also in the modern context, avatar also means sometimes avatar is people consider some particular icon in some video game. That is also some many times people call it as an avatar. In the sense, like the word avatar has a different connotation or the meaning in the modern context, which is very much different from the original meaning of the word avatar. Avatar is a descent to the Supreme Lord from the spiritual realm to the material realm, but in his self-same spiritual body. That is avatar. And Krishna explains in the Gita about the purpose of avatars. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So Krishna says that whenever and wherever there is a decline in dharma, whenever there is a predominance of adharma, I appear to establish dharma. Whenever I appear to actually correct the universal order, to establish the proper universal order, to establish the dharma. So Krishna, when we talk about Krishna's establishment of dharma, we can see Krishna performs three roles, or Krishna performs this task in three ways. One is that Krishna personally delineates dharma. He personally speaks dharma, as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke dharma to Arjuna. And Krishna speaking dharma, the Lord speaking dharma is not a one-time affair. In fact, Lord speaks again and again. The very Gita, Krishna says that, I gave this knowledge to sun god Vivaswan many thousands of years ago. But because that knowledge got lost in due course of time, and I'm again actually giving this knowledge to you. So Krishna personally delineates dharma, which is not a one-time affair. In fact, Krishna again and again speaks dharma. And not only he delineates dharma, but he also demonstrates by his personal actions how to actually live by the principles of dharma. As we say that actions speak louder than the words. Krishna personally actually demonstrates. Krishna says in the Gita, yadyad acharati sreshta tattat yeve tarojana sayat pramanam krute lokasad anuvartate. Whatever great persons actually, whatever actions they perform, common people follow. And he says that, although I don't have actually any duties to perform, but still, I also perform different duties according to dharma in order to set example for others. And if I don't perform those duties, then common people will take a wrong inspiration from me, and that will be the result of Varna Sankara or unwanted population. So Krishna also personally demonstrates dharma. And also Krishna arranges for the dissemination of dharma by establishing, by appointing different rulers who live by the dharmic principles. So Krishna delineates dharma, he demonstrates dharma, and he arranges for the dissemination of dharma by appointing different rulers. Like Krishna, after the Kurukshetra war, he arranged for Yudhishthira Maharaj to become the ruler of the whole Jambudvipa. And in this way, Krishna arranged for the dissemination of dharma. So we can, that is why, in the Vishnu Sahasranama, there are the 1008 names of Vishnu are mentioned. But out of that, there are many names of the Vishnu which are in relation to the word dharma. For example, some of the names of Vishnu are Dharmadhyakshaha, one who is the overseer of dharma. Dharmaha, One is the personification of dharma. And dharma viduttamaha. One who is the best knower of dharma. Dharma gopa, one who is the protector of dharma. Dharma krita, Krishna or Vishnu is the propagator of dharma. And dharmi means exemplar of dharma. One who exemplifies dharma. Satya dharma parakrama. The champion of true dharma. And satya dharma, one who is the abode of true dharma. Satya dharma parayana. That means, one who is the shelter of the practitioners of dharma. And dharma yupa, one who is the foundation of dharma. So you see the word, so many names of the Lord are in connection to the word dharma. So we find especially this particular verse is so fascinating in the sense that the nature of this world is that as time progresses, everything goes on a decline. Everything goes on a decline. Although Lord establishes dharma, but dharma actually starts degrading. So, but again and again the Lord, although Lord knows that, although he would establish dharma, it would actually, in due course of time, it would decline. But still he comes again and again to establish dharma. So sometimes when you know that, oh, something is anyway going to decline, you would not want to put your effort in that direction. So it really requires the detachment or the attitude of Nishkama Karma Yoga. I mean, you perform your duty in the mood of detachment. You know that, okay, the fruits are, without attachment to the fruits of the activities. So that is the attitude which is required to establish dharma. So, and of course Krishna also explains another purpose of his descent. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkratam. Dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna appears to reciprocate with his pure devotees and to annihilate the demons. The acharyas say that the primary purpose of the Lord's descent is to reciprocate with those devotees who are actually suffering in separation from him. The secondary purpose is to establish dharma. But Krishna perfectly harmonizes both the primary and the secondary purpose. And so I'll discuss briefly about the definition of avatara given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So in order to come to the definition, Rupa Goswami describes about the three forms of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual realm. So although this description may appear a little technical, but from this we can at least appreciate how there is actually very, very precise descriptions about the forms of the Lord, the spiritual realm and his different incarnations. They are actually described in the scriptures. So even if you don't grasp the precise technicalities, it's not so technical which is beyond your grasp, but it can definitely actually increase your faith in the scriptures. It will definitely increase your faith in the Supreme Lord. So Rupa Goswami says that in the spiritual abode beyond the material world, the Lord appears in three kinds of forms. And what are the three forms? Swayam Rupa. Second is Tad Ekatma Rupa. And third is Avesha. Then he gives a definition of that. What is Swayam Rupa? Swayam Rupa is that form which does not depend on any other form. He says, Swayam Rupa means the Lord's own essential identity. His own essential identity, that is the Swayam Rupa. Or another meaning is that, Swayam Rupa means the self-manifested form, which is not derived from any other reality. That is a Swayam Rupa form. So what is the example of a Swayam Rupa? In fact, the one and only example of Swayam Rupa is Krishna. Because all other forms of the Lord, they originate from Krishna. So the one and only example of Swayam Rupa form, which does not depend on any other form, is Krishna. Gopyas tapakki macharan yadamushya rupam lavanya saram ananya siddham. The word ananya siddham means that which does not depend on any other form. That which does not depend on any other form. And of course, he quotes this another verse. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Anadi Radir Govinda. Anadi means one who is without beginning. Anadi means. The Acharya say that Krishna is Anadi for the Yadus. Because the Yadus, they consider Krishna to be without beginning. They do not consider Krishna to be their subordinate. But Krishna is Adi for the Vrajavasis, because the Vrajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, they consider Krishna to be their subordinate. So anyway, the word Swayam Rupa means that form which does not depend on any other form. And this particular, the one and only example is the form of Krishna. And the second form of the Lord in the spiritual realm beyond the material world is Tad Ekatma Rupa. What is Tad Ekatma Rupa? The definition of Tad Ekatma Rupa is the form of the original person that is non-different from him, but displays some differences in bodily features and so on, is called Tad Ekatma Rupa. The form of the original person that is non-different from him, but displays some differences in bodily features and so on, is called Tad Ekatma Rupa. And within Tad Ekatma Rupa, there are two categories. Vilasa and Swamsha. And what is the definition of Vilasa? Vilasa is the Lord's self-same form whose appearance differs from Swayam Rupa, but who displays almost equal powers while enjoying pastimes. That is called Vilasa. Simple in the sense, the Vilasa means the form of Vilasa, the Lord self same form whose appearance differs from Swayam Rupa, but who displays almost equal powers while enjoying pastimes. That is called Vilasa. As an example, if the example of Vilasa is Lord Narayan is the Vilasa of Krishna. Because the appearance of Lord Narayan, it differs from Krishna. Krishna has two hands, but Lord Narayan has got four hands. But Lord Narayan has got almost equal powers. In the sense, Krishna has got 64 qualities, but Lord Narayan has got 60 qualities, slightly less. So that's an example of Vilasa. And the second category of Tad Ekatma Rupa is Swamsha. What is Swamsha? What is the definition of Swamsha? That form which is similar to Vilasa, but displays much less potency. That form which is similar to Vilasa, but displays much less potency, is called Swamsha. So examples are Sankarshan, Matsya and others. These descriptions might seem little technical, but then Kaviraj Goswami explains that Siddhanta boliye chitta nakare alas. Iha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manas. One should not be lazy in trying to understand Siddhanta. So generally, our tendency is to be lazy, both in physically and also we don't want to exercise our mind and intelligence. But Kaviraj Goswami says that one should not be lazy. When you work hard to actually use your intelligence to understand the subject matters, then what will happen? Iha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manas. Your faith will become strong. Your faith will become strong in the Supreme Lord. So therefore, I'm just making a small attempt here. And then, so now we discussed two forms, Swayam Rupa, and then we discussed Tad Ekatma Rupa. And there are two categories of Tad Ekatma Rupa. One is Vilasa and another is Swamsha. So now there is a third form. Third form is called as Avesha. So all these three forms, Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa and Avesha, they are forms of the Lord in the spiritual realm beyond the material world. So what is the definition of Avesha? So Rupa Goswami says, very great living entities in whom the Supreme Lord inverts portions of his knowledge, strength, or other potencies. That is a avesha. Very great living entities in whom the Lord inverts different actually potencies. It could be knowledge or strength, or the ruling potency. So that is an avesha. So as an example of avesha, sesha. Sesha is a living entity who is actually invested with the potency of carrying all the universes, holding all the universes. Narada is a living entity who is invested with the potency to propagate bhakti. Sanaka, the four Kumaras, they are living entities who are invested with the potency to propagate knowledge. So this is the definition of Avesha. And then Rupa Goswami says, apart from these three forms, there is a what is called as a Prakasha manifestation. What is this Prakasha manifestation? This is very interesting. We'll discuss something in relation to that also. He says, Prakasha manifestation means when a particular form of the Lord manifests himself in more than one place simultaneously, retaining in all regards the same identity, then his expanded forms are called the Prakasha manifestation. I repeat, when a particular form of the Lord manifests himself in more than one place simultaneously, retaining in all regards the same identity, then his expanded forms are called Prakasha. So, as an example, Rupa Goswami gives two examples. One example is the Krishna's manifestations in Dwaraka. In Dwaraka, Krishna married 16,108 queens. And he reciprocated with each and every queen. And the 16,108 forms which Krishna expanded to reciprocate with this all the 16,108 queens, they are the Prakasha manifestations of Krishna. They manifested simultaneously, retaining in all regard the same identity, That's Prakasha manifestation. Another example of Prakasha manifestation is Krishna, when he was performing the Rasa Leela pastime, Krishna reciprocated with each and every gopi by expanding into billions of forms. There are so many billions of gopis is described. That they are all the Prakasha manifestations of Krishna. So in this regard, that it is described in the Bhagavad Sandarbha that when Narada Muni went to Dwaraka, when he saw the 16,108 forms of Krishna performing different activities, he became completely astonished. This is described in 69th and the 70th chapter of the 10th canto. So the acharyas say, why was Narada Muni astonished? So the answer, because Krishna had 16,108 wives. But then, what is so surprising in that? Of course, it may be surprising from a Kali Yuga point of view, but if we see from the point of view of the previous age, there are many kings who had actually hundreds of wives or thousands of wives like that. So many kings throughout the history had a long lifespan and they were in the different capacity they had. So many kings throughout the history, they had hundreds and even thousands of wives. So what is so surprising that Krishna had 16,100,000 wives? Then one may say, but then maybe what astonished Narada Muni is that because all these 16,108 wives were in different palaces, that must have been the cause of Narada Muni's astonishment. But then the acharyas give the answer, no, what is so wonderful about that? If a king has got great opulence, great richness, then he can construct a different palace for each of his queen. So that should not have been in the... There are many great kings who also must have constructed different palaces for their queens. So similarly, Krishna also had such riches. So he constructed a different palace for his queen. He was able to afford a palace for each of his queens. So what is so wonderful about that? Then the acharyas give an answer. So maybe then the cause of Narada's astonishment must be because Krishna married them with individual wedding ceremonies in each of the 16,108 palaces. Krishna married them individually. That must have been the cause of Narada Muni's astonishment. But then, that should not be the cause of astonishment. Because that can be performed because by going from one palace to another palace, Krishna must have married individually. What is so astonishing in that? Maybe he must have to go 16,100 times from one place to another place. That many marriages might have taken place. But still, it's not so much astonishing. Then they further give an answer. But then, the point is that maybe Narada's cause of astonishment must be Krishna married all those 16,100 wives at the same moment. At the same moment he married them, that must have been the cause of Narada's astonishment. But then in answer, it is said, no, but Krishna is Yogeshwara. He is a master of mystic power. Many accomplished yogis, many people who are very accomplished in yoga practice. Because one person perfects his yoga, he can actually expand into many forms. So many accomplished yogis can expand into many bodies, which are technically called Kaya Vyuha. So similarly, Krishna, because he is a master of yogic power, Yogeshwara, he could have expanded into 16,100 Kaya Vyuha forms in order to participate in these marriages and in order to marry all these queens simultaneously. So this should not be the cause of astonishment, because many yogis also have this power of expanding into so many forms. So then the further answer is given. So then it is said, actually Krishna did not expand into different bodies. The 16,100 forms, the 16,108 forms are not the kaya vyuha expansions of the yogis. The yogis also expand into different forms, that is called the kaya vyuha expansions. But these 16,108 forms, they are not the kaya vyuha expansions of Krishna. Because Narada Muni himself, he also had great mystic power. And he had seen many yogis like Shaubari Muni and many other yogis, they expanding into different bodies. Shaubari Muni expanded into 51 bodies and then married the 51 daughters of a king, Mandata. So many yogis have this particular ability to expand into different bodies and then perform different tasks. So Narada Muni himself had that capacity. So therefore, Narada Muni would not have been astonished by that. Because when you are astonished by something, that means you must have seen something or you must have experienced something which you have never experienced before, which you have never seen before. Narada Muni, he had seen many yogis expanding into different bodies. And Narada Muni himself had that capacity. So therefore, if Krishna had expanded into 16,108 forms like any other yogi who expands into different kaya vyuha expansions, that should not have been the cause of astonishment for Narada Muni. Therefore, what is actually the cause of astonishment of Narada Muni is that when Narada Muni saw this prakasha manifestations of Krishna, he saw the prakasha manifestations of Krishna, and this prakasha manifestations of Krishna is different from the kaya vyuha expansions of the yogis. So Acharya say that the prakasha manifestations could be seen acting differently in different places. But the kaya vyuha forms of the yogis like Shaubari Muni and other powerful yogis have no such independent functioning capacity. So this is what the prakasha example of prakasha manifestation. So this was the cause of astonishment for Narada Muni. The cause of astonishment of Narada Muni is not the fact that Krishna married 16,100 queens. It's not the fact that Krishna built different palaces for them. It's not the fact that Krishna married them simultaneously. Narada Muni's astonishment is not the fact that Krishna expanded into 16,100 kaya vyuha expansion forms. No, the actual cause of Narada Muni's astonishment when he saw the different pastimes of Krishna in Dwaraka is the Narada Muni saw the prakasha manifestations of Krishna. So far we discussed the three forms of the Lord in the spiritual realm, Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa, which has two categories, Vilasa and Swamsha, and the third is Avesha. And then apart from these three, we discussed the fourth form of the Lord, which is the Prakasha manifestation. And then Rupa Goswami comes to the definition of Avatara. He says, when the above mentioned forms, especially is referring to Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa, and Avesha. Purvokta means when the above mentioned forms, Purvokta Vishvakaryartam Apurva Ivachet Swayam Dwarantarena Vavishyur Avataras Tadastutaha. When the above mentioned forms, that is Swayam Rupa, Tad Ekatma Rupa and Avesha, when they appear unprecedentedly, for various purposes, Vishvakaryartam, for various purposes in the material realm, for various purposes in the material realm, dvarantarena va vishyur, either solely by their own power or through some agency, then that is called an avatar. So you can see the precise definition of an avatar. So we it is important to at least know this. When the previously three mentioned forms, when they appear unprecedentedly for various purposes in the material realm, either solely by their own power or through some agency, that is an avatar. So agency can be, the agency can be one of the forms of the Lord. The avatar generally appear through the agency of Vishnu. Or the agency can be one of the devotee of the Lord. Krishna appeared through the Devaki and Vasudev. The devotees acted like an agency. Or Krishna appeared through Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So in this way, Rupa Goswami gives a definition of avatar. And another one interesting point which Prabhupada mentions in one purport. It is said, the avataras are unlimited. Avatara asankeya hare sattva nider dvija. The avataras are asankeya, unlimited in number. And hare sattva nider dvija. The avataras arise from the Supreme Lord, who is the sattva nidhi. Nidhi means what? Treasure house. Prema Nidhi, the treasure house of Prema. Sat, Nidhi means treasure house, and Sattva Nidhi means the treasure house of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. So unlimited avatars arise from the Lord, who is the treasure house of pure goodness. And then there is a beautiful analogy. Yata avidasina kulya sarasahasyu sahasrashaha. Yata avidasina kulya. That means what? That just like sarasahasyu sahasrashaga, just like thousands of sarasa, thousands of small rivers flow from an inexhaustible lake. Avidasina means inexhaustible, kulya means lake. So, inexhaustible lake. So, if there is a lot of waters flow from a lake, the lake will become empty. But here it is not talking about, verse is not talking about a common lake, it is talking about an inexhaustible lake. Just like thousands of rivers flow from an inexhaustible lake, so similarly, unlimited avatars arise from the Supreme Lord, who is the treasure house of pure goodness. So one may wonder, our avatars are like the waves of a ocean. The waves in a ocean are actually unlimited. But when we actually, when somebody actually hears this particular verse, this verse can give a room for a person, this verse can give room for anybody to claim as an incarnation of the Lord. This verse can actually, can give, many imposters can actually use this verse to claim they are the incarnations of the Lord. Because this verse says there are unlimited incarnations. So many, anybody can say, oh, I am an incarnation. You know, incarnations are unlimited in number. I am also an incarnation. Anybody can claim like that. But Prabhupada clarifies in a purport that although the incarnations are unlimited, but the incarnations are also very precisely described in the scriptures. What will be their characteristics? What will be their complexion? What will be their bodily forms? What will be their actually activities? So Prabhupada writes in a place that it is said that just as one can, no one can count the many waves that are in the sea, no one can count the forms of the Lord. But this does not mean, however, that anyone can claim to be a form of the Lord and be accepted as an incarnation. The incarnation of the Lord must be accepted in accordance with the descriptions in the Shastra. So therefore, this is an important point which we have to keep in mind. So I'll discuss something about the Katyayini Vrata. And today is, according to the Vaishnava calendar, Katyayini Vrata begins. So there is a mention of this in the 10th canto in relation to the pastime Krishna stealing the garments of the gopis, the 22nd chapter. So it is described that the gopis, they performed the Katyayini Vrata in order to they worshipped the Katyayini Devi in order to get Krishna as their husband. So in that regard, the acharyas first explain, they try to raise this point. How is it the gopis were actually pure devotees of Krishna? Why did they actually take to the devata worship? Why did they take to the worship of the devatas? So if somebody is a devata worship is there in the scriptures, but when you see from the point of your pure devotional platform, devata worship is something inferior. But when you see from the point of view of somebody who is an adharmic path, but devata worship is something which is supposed to be looked up, because people are, common people, many people are performing devata worship. When you see from a point of view of adharma, when so many people are in the adharmic path, at least these people are worshipping some devata to fulfill their material desires. They are accepting the Vedic authority. From that sense, it can be appreciated. And when you see from a pure devotional platform, it is something that how can the pure devotees worship the devatas? So therefore, the acharyas raised, answer this question. So some of the acharyas say, actually the Katyayini Devi or the Durga, which the gopis worshipped, that Durga is nothing but the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. This Durga, which the Katyayini, the gopis worshipped, it's not the Mahamaya, but it is actually the Yogamaya. Internal potency of the Lord. Then another explanation they give is that even if you see, even if you take that the gopis actually worshipped the material potency of the Lord, or the external potency of the Lord, then also there is no fault on the part of the gopis, because they are simply acting as the ordinary members of society. They are acting as the ordinary members of the society. So generally, when the when the devotees or even the Supreme Lord, when they descend to this world, they generally follow the customs of what is whatever the tradition, customs, they follow the customs which is prevalent in a society, but win Krishna consciousness. So, because at that time the custom of worshipping Katyayini Devi was there, in the sense they were also following that custom. So therefore, it should not be something just like, for example, when the Lord appeared as Varahadev, he behaved like a boar. Even when the Lord's devotees like Garuda, because he was an eagle, the natural food of an eagle is actually eat a fish. So he behaved like a natural eagle. So one should not find fault with, how can he eat fish or something like that. So, because he is setting example for the other eagles, that if, suppose, one class Radhanath Maharaj explained, if Garuda was not eating fish, then other eagles would be thinking, practicing Krishna consciousness is impractical. Because eagle, that means we can't stop eating from fish. So they will think Krishna consciousness is impractical. Therefore, Garuda was behaving like a normal eagle, and then he was eating fish, offering to the Lord. That way Maharaj explained. So the point is that many times the devotees, whichever species or whichever society they appear, they follow the many times the customs of the society, but in Krishna consciousness. And another point which is explained is that even if one criticizes that the gopis are performing some demigod worship, they are worshipping Katyayini Devi, but still try to understand what is the purpose of the gopis worshipping the Katyayini Devi. So they are worshipping Katyayini Devi in order to get Krishna as their husband. in order to actually ultimately to please Krishna, in order to serve Krishna. So therefore the purpose is something which is to be seen. And then, so therefore, just like we should not consider avajananti ma muda manushim tanuma shritam, one should not consider Krishna to be an ordinary person. So similarly, Prabhupada writes there, one should not consider the activities of the pure devotees like the gopis to be some mundane activities. If you consider the activities of the pure devotees to be some mundane activities, then you will not be able to make any advancement. The gopis worshipped Katyayani Devi in order to get Krishna as their husband. And then, of course, in this particular pastime, I just want to discuss one, this is a very esoteric pastime, but I want to discuss one aspect of this. We know that the gopis performed this Katyayani Vrata for one full month. And then at the end of the Vrata, on the last day, when they were performing that, during the completion of the Vrata, Krishna comes there and Krishna steals the garments of the gopis, and Krishna tells the gopis to actually come out of the water to collect their garments. So gopis performed their highest surrender to Krishna, to collect their clothes from Krishna. This is a very esoteric pastime, but we will discuss one of the theme of this pastime in regards to the gopis' surrender. So there are three aspects of surrender, or three levels of actually surrender to the Supreme Lord. So one level of surrender is that following the words of the Lord. Following the words of the Lord which are mentioned in the scriptures. When you follow the instructions of the Lord which is mentioned in the scriptures, that is one level of surrender. Which is also difficult, but then when we are following the words of the Lord in the scriptures, there is no follow-up. When we read the book and then we close the book is not following you up. Are you following this instruction or not? So there is no personal remainder, etc. So that is the first level of surrender. And the second level of surrender is that following the will of the Supreme Lord, or following the will of the spiritual master or a devotee. So when you are to follow the will of the spiritual master, spiritual master may again follow up if the service done. So there is a personal follow up. So where you feel little reluctant to again go in front of the spiritual master, and you not followed that particular desire of the spiritual master. So this is, it requires a little more higher level of surrender. And many times, to follow the will of the Supreme Lord or the spiritual master, so sometimes, usually, the will of the person is expressed through his words. What the Lord desires, he expresses through the words. The spiritual master expresses his desire through his words. But sometimes, the words of the Supreme Lord may be something, but the will of the Supreme Lord may be different. The will of the Lord may be different from the words which he speaks. But at that time, for a devotee to follow the will of the Lord, although the words of the Lord are different from the will of the Lord, that requires actually a greater degree of connection with the Supreme Lord. It requires a greater degree of surrender and advancement in path of bhakti. For example, in the first cant of the Bhagavatam, when after the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting that I am the cause of the death of all the 64 crores of people. So at that time, so Krishna was trying to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj was not willing to take up the responsibility of being the emperor, and Krishna was trying to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj. But although Krishna was pacifying Yudhishthira Maharaj and telling him to actually take up the responsibility of being a king, That were the words of Krishna. But the will of Krishna is that Yudhishthira Maharaj should not get pacified by his own words. Krishna did not want Yudhishthira Maharaj not to get pacified by his own words. But externally his words were, no, you please actually don't understand, you are the cause of the battle. You are just an instrument, it is readed, you should become the king. But Yudhishthira Maharaj connected with the will of Krishna. Because ultimately Krishna's will was that Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to get pacified by the words of Bhishma Dev, and he wanted Bhishma Dev to be glorified. That was Krishna's will. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he is a pure devotee of the Lord, he could connect with Krishna's will. Prabhupada writes in a place that Krishna externally tried to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj, but as a super soul, Krishna convinced Yudhishthira Maharaj not to get convinced by his own words. So that was actually Krishna's will, that he should not get convinced by his own words. So in this case, the will of Krishna is different from the words of Krishna, from one point of view. So because Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev, and Yudhishthira Maharaj connected with the will of Krishna. Another example is that where the words of Krishna are different from the will of Krishna is that in the beginning of the Rasa Panchadhyaya, when the gopis and Krishna played the flute in the middle of the night, the gopis actually came to meet Krishna. Gopis actually gave up all their household duties and then they came to meet Krishna. And when Krishna met the gopis, Krishna was telling the gopis that you must actually go back. This is not the proper time for such chaste ladies like you to come in the middle of the night, in the middle of the forest. You should actually go back. You should perform your duties. Like that Krishna was speaking. That they were the words of Krishna, but the will of Krishna was that Krishna wanted the gopis not to go back. But the gopis actually connected with the will of Krishna. Although the words of Krishna were different from his will. On the other hand, in the case of the Brahmana Patnis, Krishna told the similar thing to the Brahmana Patnis. He said that you must actually go back and assist your husbands in the performance of Yajna. There actually Krishna meant that the voice of the Brahmana should go back. His words and will were actually same. And the voice of the Brahmana, they followed the will of Krishna, which is same as the words of Krishna. But here the gopis, although the words of Krishna were different from his will, they could understand the actual deepest desire of Krishna, and then they followed that will. But the third aspect of surrender, which is actually we can see in this particular pastime of the gopis performing the Katyayani Vrata, is that following the whims of Krishna or whimsical desires of Krishna. So in this particular pastime, Krishna is telling the gopis to actually, of course I will not go into details of that, Krishna is telling the gopis to come and actually collect their clothes, come out of the water and then come and collect their clothes, which completely appears like a very whimsical desire. But even though it appears like completely a whimsical desire, the gopis actually performed that highest surrender, that particular pastime. That is why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Ramya Kachid Vrajavadu Vargena Ya Kalpita. Srinath Chakravarti mentions that one of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is that one should worship Krishna by following the footsteps of the gopis. There's one particular verse in the 10th canto which actually describes the surrender of the gopis. Dridam pralabda. The gopis were thoroughly cheated by Krishna. Dridam pralabda. Tripayacha hapita. They were made to act completely, they were completely deprived of their shame. Prastobita. Prastobita. That means they were completely ridiculed and laughed at. క్రీడనవచ్చ కారిత. దే వర్ మేడ్ టు యాక్ట్ లైక్ అ టాయ్ డాల్స్. వస్త్రాణి చైవ పహృతాన్ అతాప్యముం. ఆల్దో దర్ క్లోత్స్ వర్ స్టోలన్, దర్ క్లోత్స్ వర్ స్టోలన్ బట్ అతాపి అముం, డెస్పైట్ దట్ తానా అభ్యసూయన్, తా నా అభ్యసూయన్, బట్ స్టిల్ ద గోపీస్ డిడ్ నాట్ కన్సిడర్ కృష్ణ టు బి, దే డి నాట్ డెవలప్ అ ఇనిమికల్ ఫీలింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ. సంబడి అపియర్స్ ఇన్ అ విమ్సికల్ వే వెన్ సంబడి డిమాండ్స్ హ్యాస్ టు డూ సంథింగ్, వి యూజువలీ డెవలప్ అ గ్రజ్ ఆర్ విమ్స్, డెవలప్ అ ఇనిమికల్ ఫీలింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ అ పర్సన్. తా నా అభ్యసూయన్, దే డి నాట్ డెవలప్ అ ఇనిమికల్ ఫీలింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ, బట్ ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ ప్రియ సంఘ నిర్వృత. On the other hand, the gopis were simply joyful to have this opportunity to associate with their beloved. So therefore, Prabhupada writes there that the gopis demonstrated what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in the last verse of Chaitanya Shikshashtakam. Astulishyava padaratam vinastumam. That level of surrender was demonstrated by the gopis in that particular pastime. Of course, the same, similar, this one is also demonstrated by Bali Maharaj in Vamanadev's episode. Vamanadev, in the first two steps, he actually took away everything from Bali Maharaj. It was a thorough cheating, actually. He came as a dwarf, he just asked for 3 steps of land according to his own measurement. But then he expanded, in 2 steps he took away everything. And in for the 3rd step, Bali Maharaj offered himself. But still, Vamanadev, he actually bound Bali Maharaj. He said, you did not fulfill your promise. You did not fulfill your promise, therefore I am punishing you. And he bound him with the Varuna Pash. And he punished him right in front of everyone. In front of his wife and associates and all his soldiers. And so it was like a thorough insult. So in a similar way, the way it appears like a whimsical behavior on the part of Vamanadev towards the Bali Maharaj. But still Bali Maharaj demonstrated his highest surrender, where Bali Maharaj says that Pumsam shlagyatamam manye dandam arhattam arpitam yamna mata pita brata surdas chadishantihi. Bali Maharaj says that the benediction or the reward given by one's well-wishers like the parents or the guardians, that is actually insignificant compared to the punishment given by you. The punishment given by you is actually superior to the so-called benedictions given by the guardians and the well-wishers of this world. So Bali Maharaj also demonstrated this surrender. He actually surrendered to the whims of the Lord. And that is what this Katyayani Vrata. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explained that when the devotees go to the cheer ghat, they would actually tie different clothes in the cheer ghat. So what does actually tying that clothes in the cheer ghat, what do they represent? So he said that it represents that the clothes represents a different false ego. So we are all, we are spirit souls, but we are covered by different designations. So in offering the clothes to actually, we are putting the clothes in the tree, that means we are trying to actually give up those designations, we are actually offering ourselves to the Lord. So that is what he mentioned in connection to that pastime. And lastly, I will mention something in relation to the Damodar Leela. Just one particular point, and that will end the class. So in the Damodar Leela, this pastime comes the 10th canto, 9th chapter. Before this chapter, in the 8th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes the Mridabhakshan Leela. Krishna eating the dirt. And Krishna was eating the dirt, as you know that Krishna showed the universal form to Mother Yashoda. When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within Krishna's abdomen, and for a moment, Mother Yashoda started thinking, oh, I'm in an illusion that I'm considering myself to be the queen of Vrindavan, actually all these things do not belong to me. And she, for a moment, she came in the mood of awe and reverence. But then, within a moment, under the influence of Yoga Maya, and Mother Yashoda considered her love towards Krishna increased more in the Vatsalya mood. So, here, when Arjuna saw the universal form in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna came in the mood of awe and reverence. But Mother Yashoda, when he saw despite seeing the universal form within Krishna's abdomen, but although momentarily she came in the mood of awe and reverence, but ultimately her love towards Krishna as a child, it increased, it doubled even more. So on hearing that, Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami concludes by saying that Trayacha Upanishadbhischa Sankhya Yogesha Satvatai Upagiyamana Mahatmyam Harim Samanya Tatmajam. The glories of the Supreme Lord are studied through the three Vedas, Upanishads, the Sankhya Shastras, yet Mother Yashoda considered the Supreme Lord as an ordinary child. So then Parikshit Maharaj asked a question to Shukadeva Goswami that what austerities they performed, what did they perform in order to attain the position of the father and mother of Krishna? Can you please describe that? How could they actually enjoy Krishna's childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world? In fact, even Vasudeva and Devaki could not enjoy the childhood pastimes. Can you please describe what austerities did they perform in order to get this position of the father and mother of Krishna? So in response, Shukadeva Goswami actually gives two answers to this question. The first answer is given at the end of the 10th canto, 8th chapter. The first answer what he gives is that there are two demigods, Drona and Dara. These two demigods, they performed austerities and they worshipped Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma appeared and they expressed a desire to Lord Brahma that we want to get the Supreme Lord as our son. And Brahmaji blessed them, I bless you that you may get the Supreme Lord as your son. So that is the first answer he gives. That means these two demigods, Drona and Dara, Drona is one of the Vasus, and Dara is his wife. These two demigods, they performed austerities and by the blessings of Lord Brahma, they became the father and mother of Krishna. So that is the first answer Shukadeva Goswami gives to the question of Parikshit Maharaj. And then Shukadeva Goswami starts describing the Damodar Leela in the 9th chapter. And then after describing the Damodar Leela, then at the end of the Damodar Leela, Shukadeva Goswami says, gives the second answer in this particular verse. Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan Dehinam Gopika Suta Yoginam Chatma Bhutanam Yata Bhakti Matamiha. So he says that Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, Gopika Sutaha, is accessible to devotees who are engaged in spontaneous loving service. And he is not as easily accessible to the mental speculators, jnanis. And he is not accessible to those who are striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances and those who are in the bodily conception. So in this particular verse, he gives a second answer, which is a very clear answer, in which he says that Krishna is the eternal son of Mother Yashoda. Because the word Gopika Suta, that means Krishna is the son of Yashoda. The Acharya say, this word very clearly mentions that Mother Yashoda is the eternal mother of Krishna. It is not that Yashoda performed some austerities and attained that position. She is eternally the mother of Krishna. And so therefore this is the second answer which Shukadeva Goswami gives to the same question. What was the question? What did Nanda and Yashoda perform? What austerity did they perform in order to become the father and mother of Krishna? The first answer is that two demigods Drona and Dara, by performing austerities, by performing some sadhana bhakti, with the blessings of Brahma, they became the father and mother. But the second answer is that Yashoda is the eternal mother of Krishna. So which answer to take? So Acharya say that whenever in a scripture there are two particular contradictory statements, then according to the scriptural rule, you have to take the later statement. The first statement should be interpreted in such a way it does not contradict the later statement. Suppose if I tell to somebody, oh, give me a glass of milk. Then after 5 minutes I say, oh, give me some water. Don't bring milk, just water. Then later statement is actually taken more value. Prabhupada writes in a place that the Shankaracharya spoke the Mayavad philosophy, but then at the end of his life he said, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam Mudamati. That means the later statement, he said, give up all these word jugglery and just worship Govinda. The later statement should be taken more, be given the greater value. So similarly, so therefore the later statement is that Shukadeva Goswami is saying that Yashoda is the eternal mother of Krishna, and therefore he says that Lord Brahma's blessing, when Lord Brahma blessed Drona and Dara, it was not an independent boon, it was simply a fulfillment of a prophecy. Because Lord Brahma himself, after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, he offered prayers, that he prayed to Krishna that I just want to take birth somewhere in the outskirts of Vrindavan as a stone or some grass, so that I want to be trampled by the Vrajavasis. If Lord Brahma himself is aspiring for that position, how can he bless somebody? Oh, you can become the father and mother of Krishna. You can bless somebody if you have something. So therefore, the Acharya has explained that Lord Brahma's boon is not the cause that Drona and Dara became the father and mother of Krishna. In fact, Lord Brahma's boon is simply a semblance of the cause. It's not the cause. So therefore, they say that Drona and Dara, they are actually the expansions of Nanda and Yashoda who appeared in the heavenly realm. They were the expansions of the eternal mother of Krishna, Krishna, that is Nanda and Yashoda, who appeared in the heavenly realm. And then that Drona and Dara, on the pretext of the boon of Lord Brahma, they actually merged into the body of the Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, who appeared in the Krishna's pastimes, who appeared as the father and mother of Krishna. They merged into their bodies, and then they became actually the father and mother of Krishna. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami explains the unique position of Mother Yashoda by saying, Nemam virinchina bhavo nashrir apyanga samshaya prasadam lebire gopi yattat prapya vimuktidad. The position of Mother Yashoda, it cannot be achieved by neither by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, nor by Lakshmi Devi. So with this I will conclude the class. To summarize, we discussed about the concept of avatara. We discussed about the three forms of the Lord in the spiritual world, Swayam Rupa, Tadekatma Rupa, which has two categories, Vilasa and Swamsha, and Avesha. And then we discussed also the Prakasha manifestations of Krishna. And then we discussed the definition of avatara. Now we mentioned that although the avatars are unlimited, but they are precisely mentioned in the scriptures. And then we discussed about the Katyayani Vrata, why the gopis performed the Katyayani Vrata. And we discussed about the three levels of surrender, following the words of the Lord, following the will of the Lord, and surrendering to the whims of the Lord, from the example of the gopis. And then we discussed about the from the Damodar Leela, how the two answers given by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj's question, and how we understand those two answers. I think I'll stop here, because it's 10 o'clock, we'll end here. If somebody has any questions, I'll be here for a few minutes and then take it. Brahma Vimohan Leela? Achha. In the Brahma Vimohan, his question is, which category Brahma Vimohan Leela comes in? Brahma Vimohan Leela, Krishna expanded into so many forms. All those forms are actually non-different from Krishna. All those the particular gopas and the cows, the calves were actually non-different from Krishna. At least technically it is not mentioned. I'm not remembering which particular category it is mentioned in the Acharya's commentaries. But they are non-different from Krishna. We can say it is, whether it is Prakasha manifestation, I'm not remembering whether it is particularly mentioned. I'll have to check. I think I will stop here. I will take your questions. Vrantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki chai.